A listener production.
Activate your internet, because the Hamish and Andy podcast starts in 3, 2. Sorry, still buffering. 1.
Ahoy for the last time this year to me, mate Hamish.
Ahoy, sir.
And ahoy to me, mate Jack, over there for the last time this year.
Of course, ahoy, guys.
Mandated break is coming up for us. We hate it.
We're waiting for a last minute call from the governor who may give us a stay. At this stage, it looks like I'm just getting a text message here from the governor of podcasting.
Yep.
Yep. No, the appeal's fallen through. What a bummer. Yeah. I was hoping to take
a 3-month break as of after this show. So apologies for that. But ahoy to Blair, who used the very easy system, which is at hamishandy.com, to upload audio to let us know what he's up to.
Ahoy, boys. My name's Blair. Just coming at you from a town in New Jersey called Manchester Town in America. There's a bit of excitement in the air today. It is a Thursday, and the reason I say that, I know it does take some time for these messages to get on the air. But anyway, it's a Thursday, May 6, 1937. They're going to launch an airship today, which is exciting. The whole town's running around. Going to see it happen, take off. It is, of course, the Hindenburg, the helium-filled airship. It's going to revolutionise the way we travel between continents. And,
We wish you luck.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Oh, I've got some bad news, boys. This upload is only at 1%. It's going to take years to get to you guys. All right, I'll keep sending it. We'll wish them best of luck on the launch, and we'll catch you guys in a bit. Cheers.
Wait, started sending it before it was finished.
Yeah. Well, I guess when you are dealing with probably a 486 back in 1937, one of the older computers. Yeah. When you're dealing with that, you'd start putting it in parcels when your little packages to just make sure it got uploaded. No, we do thank everyone for their historical uploads. A beautiful glimpse at an era gone by, and also a wonderful, a wonderful way to track the exact upload speeds that we face with our problematic back end.
Haim, we've got to start with something very, very exciting. It's something we've talked about doing all year, because this last show, it is about crossing off loose ends and ticking boxes.
This is where you decide if something's a peter out or a loose end. Got a lot of peter outs. We're happy for those to just go.
Yeah.
But this is a loose end we want to tie up.
Jack, remember a while back you said this. As you know, my brother-in-law and sister own a roof rack store.
Sure. And don't tell me Jack was calling up for a freebie.
No, Paul got an email. Do you know, is it a Francis Blake or Blake Francis?
Oh, Blake Francis, I know.
He emailed Paul at the roof rack store wanting some free racks for promotion they're doing for the Gold 104 breakfast show.
We aren't doing anything to do with roof racks.
Okay.
Blake, can I just say, he's that kind of guy who like always turns up at the tennis and you just assume that he's getting some kind of free tickets. I think he, if I may say, is more of a weasel than me.
Of course he may. What is the podcast for if it's not some sort of weasel court? Hey, do we set up similar to how, remember last year we had Mike, Ready Mike, battle the guy, Pokemon facts. We had the Pokemon battle.
Yes.
Do we just do a bit of weasel fighting on the show and we get Blake on versus Jack to really out each other on the most weaselly behaviour?
That's you accusing Blake Francis, a guy you worked with at the radio station where it was your real job, not your hobby like this one, of being more of a weasel than you when it comes to seeking out free things.
Yep.
Now, there was a situation where Andy's brother-in-law's roof rack store was milked. Was milked, pumped for a set of roof racks, and they were promised to mention on the breakfast show, which has got the most ears in Melbourne, and that's where you want to be talked about if you're a small business. The roof rack went out, and if I remember correctly, Jack, Christian, your co-host, the host of the show, he didn't even really want to give it away by that. It's like the break had gone long.
Yeah, and we didn't even know we were meant to be giving away roof racks as part of what we were doing.
Yeah.
Nobody.
My sister and her husband and her family had
starved, gone without dinner so they could give those roof racks away.
And they also huddled around the wireless ham to hear the giveaway.
Get the kids back from school.
And there was no mention of it.
There was no mention.
This is it. And it was organised by a guy called Blake Francis. Mm. He's the one that rang the store and said, listen, I'll get excited, guys. You know, you know, it's all Melbourne's going to be talking about this morning is roof carrier systems. You know, you're not going to believe the amount of exposure you get. They got sweet FA. Then later in the morning, Huggy, Craig Huggison, who... Is that his name?
Huggins, like yeah. Craig Huggins.
Yeah. He does the morning show, much less he is. Yeah. He then went and said they're, what do you say, they're fresh as.
Dope racks.
And that was meant to please the owners of the roof rack store who'd given away their racks. Anyway, yeah. Jack, you reckon he was trying to weasel a pair for himself?
And he did while I worked with him, just that year I worked with him, a lot of weasel acts from Blake.
And today we have the weasel off.
Because he came on and he said, no, Jack's the much bigger weasel. Don't you worry about that. Like, you know.
He joins us on the line now. Blake, ahoy to you.
Ahoy, boys. How are you?
Very good, yeah, mate. Very, very well. Thank you for joining us for this really special event. It's a special Hamish and Andy event. And
Blake, just a quick one. I need to get this off my chest on behalf of my brother-in-law who owns the roof rack store. Do you feel that the morning show's plug was as valuable as the promised breakfast show plug?
This is basically my opinion of Huggy. I value Huggy, and he does a very, very good job, very good at what he does. So in my personal opinion, yes, but according to the stats and numbers, no.
What a well media trained answer. I mean, I felt like we're listening to a chief health officer there.
Yeah, exactly. I am worried for you, Jack. So the way the weasel off is going to work is we've obviously had the previous charges against Jack and Blake. Blake's was the fact that he asked for free roof racks from my brother-in-law, promised it to be in a prominent number one rating radio slot. It wasn't there in the
basically
end.
Said, we're going to do a billboard in Times Square. And in fact, it was the naked cowboy wearing a sandwich board two streets away. Yeah, but it wasn't quite the level of exposure that Roof Carrier Systems had hoped for when it took a serious hit to its inventory by losing a full rack of product for zero cash in return.
Exactly. We have often said that Jack's a bit of a weasel. He bought Bitcoin behind our back. He was handing out our autographs in exchange for free sushi back in the day down at the supermarket. The charge list for Jack is very, very long.
Oh, don't even get us started on. Remember the how many times we put up listening to Mission Chips get mentioned so he could have free corn chips.
All right. If this is a court, the judge can't jump on the defendant as well.
That's true. No, but we're just
the judge. The judge is more just going, I can't be bothered reading the full charge list.
Yes.
But let's not, let's not pretend it's not little.
He flew down some of our fans to build his house.
He did.
They became friends, genuine friends.
Wowee.
So anyway, all I'm saying,
they're my genuine friends
now.
Sure.
But anyway, here's where the game gets interesting. Jack came out on this podcast, as we just heard earlier, and said that Blake is a bigger weasel than Jack. We both said to Jack and Blake separately, go away and find the biggest weasel maneuver you've heard that the other person has pulled off.
Mm-hmm.
Present that to Hamish and I, and we'll determine today, here and now, who's the biggest weasel of them all.
It's an interesting kind of court because it's basically like saying, okay, you're charged with bank robbery. If you can prove the other guy did it more than you, we only have one cell left in the jail system. So who's the worst and who's going in the cell?
Blake, when Jack came out with this claim that you are in fact a bigger weasel than him.
Yeah, how did that make you feel?
Look, I'm not going to lie. It hit me hard because I thought we had a great rapport with each other. Later down the track, I did find out Jack just didn't have the full information of what the whole promotion was. And so he did admit after the fact that he had made a mistake, or he now had the information at hand to understand what I was going to do. But nonetheless, I'm still a weasel, apparently. So.
Okay. Well, you can serve first. What would you like? You have to present to us something that Jack's up to or been up to that makes him a bigger weasel than you. Off you go.
Hamish and Andy, I present to you the Weaseliest of Weasel Actions by one Jack Post. Mm-hmm. I had the privilege of working with Jack on the Gold 104.3 Melbourne radio station for the promotion called Heroes Gold. For that, we created a beer to raise funds for the bushfire relief, you know, the people who needed it most.
Yep, an admirable cause.
Very, very. Now, we got invited by the beer brewery to come out and have a nice lunch and look at the beer in production, the cases, the beer cans going through. Jack will remember very fondly.
Yes.
And then by the end, I do remember that they said, oh, we've got some cases here. Would you like to take, you know, one and sample the product? Of course, we were all happy to. Then I'm pretty sure my memory precedes me that he backed his ute into the driveway and continued. He took a couple, which was fine. He's one of the hosts. And then I think he took one or two more. And I think my ending argument is that there's no worse weasel action than to take from charity. That is what I think.
Blame.
Wow.
Okay.
Back a U-team for a freebie.
Terrible drink.
Okay.
I mean, the guy likes a freebie, but to back a truck up after a simple offer is a huge move.
Backing a truck up makes it sound like I drove away with 100 slabs. It was a few slabs, and I wasn't taking from the pockets of the heroes that helped us during the bushfires.
Can't sell the ones you took.
We didn't sell out, so people could.
This is before it went on for sale. I mean, you were taking stock that couldn't be sold.
Yeah, and we did sell out as well. So I guess that money would have translated. That is. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Blake, well done. Thank you very much.
And you stand here in this core room, Jack, and it hadn't even occurred to you that could be what it was.
I did end up buying some slabs and paying and giving forward and giving to charity.
Gosh, big whoop.
No. I just wanted to be known.
Okay. Thank you, Blake.
If I may, Your Honour, big whoop.
Blake, a very strong foot put forward.
Thank you. Good.
Jacko?
All right,
over to you.
I have written a little song.
I'll be honest with you here, Blake. I'd be very confident if I was you here because you don't write a song if you think your evidence is good.
No.
You write a song to add performance points to a weak argument.
In fact, Jack's songs in the past have all been to say, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's been the theme of his song.
Yes, this is my first probably non-apology song for the show.
It's a non-apology song. Okay,
an accusatory song. Okay.
So this will give an example of the type of weasel that Blake is, and we did. This is an example from when we worked together at Gold 104, mm-hmm. and my general feelings on weaseling overall.
Okay.
Okay. Good luck. Here we go.
You and your partner went glamping at the Belgowney Estate. And then the next week we were doing a promotion with them on the show. Was that a coincidence that you were in a glamping tent and didn't pay a cent, not a dollar spent? You got yourself a little present. But I'm not trying to shame ya or blame ya, 'cause I'm the same, yeah, I do the same as you. 'Cause I'm a weasel too. We're weasels through and through. We're weasels through and through. We're weasels through and through. We're all weasels, baby. But deep down, isn't everyone a weasel through and through?
No.
We're weasels, and weasels are people too. There's weasels all around us, even on this very podcast.
Oh, no.
I think of Hamish in the tailor-made golf clubs.
Happy to pay.
He could have at least made an effort to cover it up. But when he's hitting off the tee, when he's putting on the green, he'll know deep down inside the weasel that he's been. And I think of Andy Lee.
Clean skin over
here.
And
the kids' books that he writes. They're all the same story. and Andy's taken several bites when he's cashing all his checks from Dimmicks and Big W. He'll know deep down inside he's a weasel through and through. We're all weasels through and through. We're all weasels through and through. We're all weasels through and through. We're all weasels, baby. But deep down isn't everyone a weasel through and through? We're all weasels, and weasels are people too.
Well done. Well
outstanding.
Done. Outstanding.
Beautiful.
I take beautiful offense work. And my legal team will be from the books will be right up against you, Jack.
I said at the time, Jack, I was happy to pay. I was simply asking Andy if he had a contact at the golf company where he was getting his clubs for free.
This isn't about all defending our weasel actions.
Okay, here's my verdict.
Let's be honest. In this day and age, of course, we do live, everyone's responsible for weasel behavior. Mm. Largely driven by social media. If you have a platform, people like to allow the weaselness to seep into their DNA. Having said that, I would like to declare Andy and I innocent as charged.
And I'm going to say Blake's the biggest weasel.
I was going to say, split decision, I think the beer is the worst. Okay, still great song, but you can't take beer from a charity, mate. That's the takeaway.
Hame, a big part of this year has been not only dipping a toe, but jumping in naked to the pool that is digital horse racing.
All four hoofs. We're saturated.
Yep. Our horse trainer is Doofy. If you are just new to the podcast, welcome. But
there'll be some assumed knowledge.
Yes.
There'll be some references made.
We use digital currency to buy digital horses and you breed them and you race them for real money. Doofy joins us. Doofy, ahoy to you.
Digital ahoy. How are we going, lads?
Digital ahoy, well. Doofy. This is probably our last check-in of the year, isn't it, Ando?
We've got the three-month government-mandated break starting Friday, tomorrow.
We fight it, but there's nothing we can do, unfortunately. No. You cannot fight the might of the government. You're just best left to... Mm. So we can do gather, we'll splash a bit of water on our face. It's not actually that long, 3 months, but, it's just only a sniff over 100 days. And that's, look at a lot of, some weeks with a long weekend and then you take a break in between, then you've got a midweek public holiday. Yes. It can creep out like that. So it's just sort of like a very long weekend and then we're back.
Doofy, in your line of work, digital horse racing, any government mandated breaks, are you guys allowed to work all the way through?
No, we're allowed to work all the way through. Actually, if it's going off anything last year, it picks up a lot over Christmas. There's a lot of banter going around and watching the horses around
the street. Do you think that this is just a kind of a classic example? Because we obviously operate under the extremely, extremely tight federal podcasting regulations, but you guys are decentralized because you're on the blockchain. Yeah. Is this just an example of how free people on the blockchain are?
It is nice to be free.
Yeah,
it sounds it.
And here we are, Ando, on this with the podcasting. We can choose what we put in the pipe, but it's firmly crimped by the government, isn't it?
Oh yeah, you bet. As of next week, Doofy, talk us through it. How many horses do we have in our stable right now?
We've got a great stable. We've got 9 horses in total.
Nine.
We've still got Thundercastle, which is our Genesis, which is our big value horse, and then. Mm. We've got a couple of shitbirds kicking around, but then some really nice bred ones as well.
Yeah,
great. And that's what we wanted. We sort of want it to be like, I'm trying not to be offensive.
We're a Christmas party. Everyone has to come no matter whether you like them or not.
That is a nice way of putting it. I was going to say, is it kind of like, you've got... like, let's say a Hollywood star in the family, like a Brad Pitt.
Ah, yes.
And then all the other brothers and sisters and stuff. And it's like, we're at the end of the day, we're all horses. We're all sitting around the table.
Yeah.
We might be better out on the track, some better than others. Mm. But, whether you're a shitbird or a Thundercastle, we're all part of the same family.
Yeah. So, Doofy, what's the goal in this 3-month break for Hamish Nettie Stables?
So Zed have been pumping out these tournaments. So It's a bit of a hard one because, unfortunately, the horses that we have that are really good at the moment that have been competing, they've sort of worked their way through the grades and they're not really competing right now. So until we have some more classes built out, which should be coming soon, they're finding it quite hard to qualify in these tournaments. We're trying our hardest.
So we're only good enough to play C-grade netball at high school, but the only tournament available is the national tournament. Open age.
That's a great way of putting it.
Damn it.
So look, we'll send these ones off to the breed barn in this downtime. We'll keep having a crack at tournaments, and hopefully we have one or two pop in. These tournaments are worth $100,000 USD, up to $300,000 USD. So you only need to be in it once to have a good shot at taking home some cash.
Is Jack Post the horse exhausted? It was really servicing a lot of mares.
Is he absolutely, is he like a withered sultana because he's been drained so thoroughly?
He hasn't raced as well since he came back from the sun bath, put it that way.
Sleeping. Lost a lot of calories.
So do we feel like Jack Post, a horse, it's worth him not going into the stud barn again and seeing if he gets the fire back to race? Or is his racing days done?
Let's do that. I mean, I'm happy to keep him pent up for a few months until we come back next year and see how he goes over the break, and we might be onto something.
Can we let him look through the window of the stud barn so he sees all the fun that's being had in there gets a little excited? But then we just say to him, you jump back on the podium, then you can jump back between the sheets. But we need it to happen in that order.
Okay.
I'll make sure that he's watching through the window with anticipation of what could come if he races better.
Thanks, Steve.
Maybe we need this type of stimulus for our Jack Post now. I mean, he's missed days of work this year.
I think I missed one day. But what am I going to do? Look through the window of the studio from the outside?
Andy, we let him outside the studio. He's going home. this is not going to work for our Jack Post. If we're you sit outside and look at how much fun we're having, then you can come back in. Where is he? Oh, he's at Nando's. Now he's gone.
Doofy, thank you very much. How many horses can we expect, do you think, by the time we get back after the three-month government-mandated break?
Yeah, look, we'll have a few in there. I think we'll be coming back around 15 in the stable, so we'll have some fun with those new ones.
All right.
I'll leave some on ice as well so that we've got some new ones to race fresh coming in with the show as well, and we'll do some fun things. But enjoy your government-mandated break for sure.
We don't enjoy it, mate. It's absolute hell on earth, but last thing we want to do is get thrown in jail. I reckon if we've got 15 horses, we're coming back. We're giving away some horses, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. We'll give away horses in the new year. We should have some kind of event as well. Doofy, we'll work towards all that. But you just go about your breeding, keep Jack Post outside of that barn, but give him a good peephole.
Yeah, put him downwind.
See you.
That works for horses, Andy. Sorry. It's how it works for horses. Ando, would be silly, I think, to finish the year with you just gleefully walking into this government mandated
break. I'm not gleefully walking into it. I'm devastated.
Well, let's devastate you a bit more. Let's upset you.
Everything is neat and practical, because that's the way he likes it. But what if it wasn't? Upset Andy.
You've done this so many times, Sam, that now when I hear this Ben Lee song on the radio, I think he's singing the wrong lyrics.
Yeah.
I've heard this version more now than Ben.
You'd have to have. I mean, we're throwing at you every couple of weeks. But people want to upset you, Ando, and they're interested to know where the line lies between liking things in a particular order versus the fast and loose chaos of the world that's always threatening to kick the door down. Event, ahoy, have you got something to upset Andy?
Sure do. Ahoy, boys.
Ahoy to you, Yvette.
So on a cold winter's day, got my long sleeve top on.
Good.
Mm-hmm. I've got to put my jacket or my jumper on. I've got no time to hold my sleeves while I slide my arms through.
I hate that. I hate it already.
I just slide my arms through, let the top gather at the elbow. Gives me a bit of extra padding. It's all right.
Yeah, it is. No one really has time to grab the sleeves like that because it's such it's a several-second manoeuvre. And also, the warmth you lose from your forearm, Ando, you easily gain at the elbow as they're extra warm.
It just smooths out.
No, I really dislike that. As soon as you said it, had me riling. It's peri-peri on the hot scale of hate.
This is like the, remember we had the guy, Ando, that was like, he goes surfing before work.
Yeah.
And he just trained himself to not be bothered by sandy feet in his socks. It's like, it's too hard to de-sand them. So just got used to wearing sandy feet all day.
Yeah, not happy. Yvette, thank you. You've truly upset me. I need a break.
No, you don't have one. Ryan, ahoy. How are you, Ryan?
Ahoy, boys, and happy birthday, Andy.
No good need, man. Ryan. Ahoy to you, though.
Flyer. What do we got?
This is actually something my ex-girlfriend used to do a few years ago. Whenever she would write a text message or email or type up her uni assignments, rather than going to the effort to press shift and I to get the capital I, she would use the lowercase l.
Who's got time for shifting? I feel it.
No one.
I get it, Ryan.
Yeah. Wouldn't she have a series of little red squiggly lines throughout the whole document?
I mean, I could get those all the time. Who cares about the lines?
Well, that's how I noticed it, because I walked past her typing up an assignment one day and just saw her Word document covered in little red squiggles.
Amazing. And you went, what's going on here? I mean, geez, it's actually kind of impressive, isn't it? The training to not also, hit the capital.
And your mind to go straight to the L instead of an I, while you type.
Super impressive.
I'm actually a little bit impressed. Yeah. thank you, Ryan.
So much effort. But then again, you know, shifting all day.
Yeah.
No one's got time for that. Jordan.
All right.
Ahoy, Jordan.
Ahoy, boys.
What have you got for me?
So my friend, who's also called Andy, wears an analog watch on his wrist, and he has the watch face facing on the inside of his wrist. Now he prefers to read the time with his arm out straight instead of parallel across his body.
Okay, yeah.
So he changes the time on his watch and uses the 3 o'clock notch as the 12 o'clock notch. So he always has the incorrect time on his watch so he can read it the way he wants to.
Not to him, it's not. So 3 o'clock's midnight for him.
It's correct for him.
Well, 3:15. 3 o'clock.
Sorry, yeah. Well, when the watch says 3, watch says 3, it's going to be 3:15, doesn't it, for midnight? So he's actually an hour and a quarter out. Three and a quarter hours out.
I hate it. I even also dislike the idea of having to look at your watch facing forward like you're out of a hymn book. You know, it doesn't seem right.
But if he's going to jabber his hands out in front of him a lot, like he's, you know, say he's dealing cards, that's very fast for him to just turn the wrist there.
But terrible when he's riding his motorbike.
No, that's true. It might grip it underhanded so you can always see the time.
Thank you, Jordan.
I enjoy it.
Matt, that was good. Brilliant. This is such a good one to bring.
These are such high effort fast and looses.
I know.
Amazing. Matt,
ahoy, boys.
What do you got for us? Ahoy, Matty.
Just like Hamish, I like to play a lot of golf.
Yeah.
I know Andy likes to dabble in it as well. I reckon this is a sure thing, this one. I was pretty good, you know, low single-figure handicap, took it pretty seriously. As soon as I'd have a shot, walk back to my bag, first easiest spot I see, club goes in there. No order.
Put it in the order.
No. I don't even have golf clubs yet, and I'm not planning on doing that.
Well, if you're lucky enough to have a buggy, you want them 3 different heights in the one section so the irons don't clink together. You know what I'm saying?
He might have you there, Ando.
I can respect that, but...
but I can't respect you. I can't respect the other stuff, Matt. How good were you, Matt? What was your handicap, just to get Andy's respect?
About 2.6 was the lowest. Yeah, never got below that. But
bloody good.
That's better than you, isn't it, Ando?
Oh, yeah, well and truly better than me.
I'm approaching that.
And absolutely no one wants to be that guy having to constantly call up the group behind you. You know, slow golf. No one likes
slow golf. Yeah, I know, but you can't select your club as quick as I can because I know exactly where it is.
No, I bet he can.
Yeah.
It's
only a 9-inch hole. They're all there.
No. Yeah, that's it. No, Matt, get rid of Matt, please.
Matt, it sounds like this is the secret to golf handling. Maybe you two on time. Matt's off at 2.6. Wrap this up for us.
You got what time for one more? That's it.
Yeah, let's get Katie. Get Katie. Katie, we'll squeeze you through. Katie, ahoy.
Ahoy, boys. So I have a robot vacuum at home. I know, must be nice.
Yeah, it must be very nice.
And if there's any crumbs or anything during cooking, so like if I've got some coffee grounds or like I'm making some toast and there's crumbs, I'm just going to brush it straight on the floor because the robot vacuum will sort it out later.
Vacuum's hungry.
Oh, interesting.
It needs
I'm
a job.
I'm not sure
exactly.
If I...
I'm feeding it a little snack.
I've been in your house when you sweep stuff on the floor and you go, that's for Bernard the butler. Well, no, I'm not paying him for nothing. Like, you know, you're like, let him get it. Let him lick it up.
I'm in two minds about this one because, I mean, I don't like crumbs on the ground. I'm the kind of person that if I saw someone walking along with a piece of toast, you'll see me offer a plate very quickly just after them.
Yeah, my mum did that on the weekend and I said, no thanks, mum. I was eating a mini sausage roll. And she went, so you can put a plate down. I said, I'm fine, save a plate. And she just pushed it closer to me.
Yeah, me and your mum, yeah, we're birds of a feather there. But the fact that there's this robot coming around to clean up is very, very, I mean, must be nice, but... To me, there's the actual efficiency there.
I don't reckon you would enjoy the robot. I think, Katie, does the robot ever miss a crumb?
No, I've been lucky so far. Jesus.
I just feel like you wouldn't be happy with the robot's job, Ando.
No, no.
I feel like you'd want the robot to do performance reviews.
I'd need to monitor it for a week before committing to the process. Thank you, Katie.
Good one, Katie. I mean, that is the world we're living in, though, Ando. You know, that's it. Robot butlers.
Hey, and final show of the year before the government mandated a break, 3-month break.
Of course, will we to release any fresh podcasting content past this show until until nearly March, then of course we would serve time in the clink, and we don't want to do that because they really don't mess around. You cannot muck around when the government mandates the break.
Yep.
So we'll take it and we'll force ourselves to enjoy it. However, through our barrister, we were able to get one little loophole carved out so you can enjoy some Hamish and Andy podcast content over the summer. Of course, you can listen to old episodes and catch up if you need to.
Yeah.
And you can introduce it to friends and have a great time laughing and bonding over
the great
the years,
audio content.
Over the great content. That's
not
totally
fresh content.
Fine. No. That's totally fine. But you can also, as per our recent legal victory with our barrister, thank you to Sarah, McConnell.
Yep.
QC, who is bloody good and got us, we're allowed to sell the Power Moves book over summer.
Yep. HamishNandy.com. I'll be heading out there with a bunch of year 11s. I've spoken to Hawks this week. I have rescinded my offer to drive a heavy, rigid vehicle out there.
Are you not doing the bus?
Well, my worry is I don't want to spend the whole day out there. And so I wanted to take them out, that's fine, but then the idea of having to
you're their lift home.
Their lift home, I don't want to do that.
And also just get a real bus driver. I mean, it's one thing driving me and Jack around on our band tour a few years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
But a bus full of year 11s is a whole nother barrel of fish, mate.
So what I'll do is I'll get on that bus and then I'll keep an eye out for young lovers. And
Oh, cool. That doesn't sound creepy. Because when we did talk about last week, we just think that, you know, everyone's welcome, but it's just the distraction factor of
young lovers
being in love.
We feel like that,
whilst we've got a lot of customers waiting to get their Power Moves book. Okay, I'll leave that up to you how you police the year 11s, Ando. But I'm one. I mean, I'm very excited. We've heard from Hogs just a couple of little bits and pieces here and there of how excited the year 11s are, how good at work they are, how fired, how well rested they are. So they're really going to get those orders out. If you do want to get the Power Moves book, as Ando said, hamishandy.com is
guaranteed
the place
to get it before Christmas if you get it now. Haim, let's wrap up the year though with another round of Power Moves.
Permission to go long on this one, Ando, because there's so many great ones that have come through. So many great Power Moves this year. I mean, of course, the Power Moves Volume 2 book is out.
Yes.
Selling fiercely.
They are in. They're in. They've arrived at
if
the warehouse.
If you go into
they should be going out now.
I'm just on boattracker.global.net/PMovesBook/special-code-only-we-know so we can see where they are. And, of course, it just shows you the boat's docked location. Yeah. The boat's being repaired at the moment. The boat that brought them across from China after being printed.
Because the books are too heavy.
Because of the weight, yeah.
The books are too strong.
Under hull repair. Yeah, to get your book, go to hamishandy.com. And it will not. One is okay. One you will be able to handle, but certainly get crate of those. The boat wasn't ready.
And as Hawg said last week, if in Australia, it guarantees if you order this week, you'll get it before Christmas, but there's no international complaints.
The supply chain thing. I mean, you've seen some of the gluts around the world.
Yeah.
Get in fast. Get in fast is what else can we say, Andy? This comes in from Paul Finch. He is a wedding photographer. So it's a two-pronged wedding photography power move. Number one, when taking a photo, after asking everyone to smile, pick one person in the photo that's a little bit annoying and look at them with a concerned face and politely ask, do you have another smile you could possibly use?
Part two. Yes, great.
In a full group photo situation, after taking the photo, pick one person by name, usually the one that's been a little bit annoying, and ask them to hop out of the group with no explanation before taking the photo again and thanking everyone for being involved.
Tremendous. This is from Georgia Lee. She said, if you want to up someone in a conversation, so this is great heading into the Christmas period, particularly work Christmas parties, simply say, hey, can you swim? Because you look like someone who can't swim.
Really like it. This is from Jason, one of our Kiwi, Ahoy to All our Kiwi podcasters. It's jiu-jitsu-based power move.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, because this is a power move done on me. I was rolling with a dude, which is jiu-jitsu slang for sparring. I'm just reading.
Yeah.
And I held a dominant position called the mount. While I was in this position going for a submission, the person I was rolling with, even though I was better, said to me, come on, do it like we practiced. This left me looking like the student. Good move.
Like it from Patty. This is a barista power move.
Very good.
When someone who has a very normal name for their order, for example, Matt, ask them to spell it for you.
Really good. Not sure if we've had this one because it's such a goodie that you're like, geez, we might have had it, but just in case. Comes in from Luke. If someone you know has a baby and you find out the child's name, instantly make a Gmail account with the standard first.last@gmail email and offer it to them for a small fee or hold them to ransom. Up to you.
Really like that? Hey, this one came in direct email to me. From Adam Spencer.
Oh, shit, okay.
Our mathematician. Who actually, Jack, has he been teaching you chess? Because
he's been playing you.
On the chess.com app, you can look at any other players, and he looked me up, and then he banned me. I've never spoken to Adam before, by the way. called me, and he said, you got to stop playing games. You can only do the puzzles and the lessons. For the foreseeable future. And I've had to check in with him every couple of weeks.
Hey,
what a power move. So he's essentially come in and made you feel like he's your chess sensei.
Yeah, he is. Well, unsolicited, he's now my coach, I guess. And so anybody who's...
So if you play a game, can he see that if you, you know, play a game, would he see and go, hang on, what are you doing, mate? You could only be
You're not good enough for games.
He can see everything that my profile does. So he's allowed me to play one 15-minute game every 2 weeks. And so...
Why are you letting him?
Because he says this is how I'll improve my chess. So for everybody who's trying to play me, this is why I can't play you and I'm ignoring game requests because Adam Spencer told me I can't play at the moment.
Because you turned up to a boxing match and some guy just wore the same jacket as your team and moved in and went, I'm this guy's coach. Yeah.
He said I'll instill bad habits if I keep playing games the way I'm playing.
Harsh coach. Have you seen the film Whiplash?
Yes, he's very much like the teacher from Whiplash and I'm the drummer.
It's a cross between Searching for Bobby Fischer and Whiplash. Not quite my checkmate.
Well, this
gives you an idea of how much of a power move specialist Spence is.
Okay, this is excellent. So I'm glad I asked that, Jack. He says it requires two people, this power move.
Yeah, working you find an idiot on chess.com, convince them you're their coach, and start charging them a monthly fee for chess coaching.
He said, if you're going to Woolworths or Coles, I reckon, with a mate, find an incredibly obscure item whose name doesn't immediately suggest the section it would should be in the shop. For instance, Caribbean jerk seasoning rub.
Right? Gotcha.
Then split up. Agree on the item.
Yep.
Then split up. One of you approaches the staff member and says, hey, do you have any idea where the Caribbean jerk seasoning rub might be? That's when the second friend approaches.
The stooge.
and waits a couple of awkward seconds for the attendant to sit there and have a think about it before going, sorry, I didn't want to eavesdrop, but I'm pretty sure the Caribbean jerk seasoning rub is in aisle 7, about halfway down on the left third shelf. It's between the spaghetti and the Himalayan. Anyway, cheers, guys. Have a good day.
That. Now, hats off to Spence for he's obviously busy with his chess coaching to have the time to execute that move and perfect it. The guy's a polymath. This is such a great one, Ando.
Okay.
It's simple. It's super powerful. Let's leave everyone with this over summer, over the government mandated break to have a think about. Something for people to try maybe before the end of the work year or when they come back. It's a workplace power move. Comes in from Jacob. Says, write a list of all the co-workers in your workplace on a whiteboard. Begin to add tallies next to each name, but don't give the list a name and let panic set in. Ando.
Mm-hmm.
As we've mentioned, we are about to, unfortunately, put our hands in the air, surrender, walk out the studio as the government's bastards podcasting compliance unit storms in here and marches us at gunpoint out the door as we observe the government-mandated three-month podcasting break over summer. Yep. Unfortunately, our legal appeals have failed yet again. We continue to fight, but that's the way things are.
We'll go to the beach. We'll go to the cricket. We won't enjoy it.
You have to pretend. you have to put up a facade because otherwise they start suspecting you might be banking content.
Yeah.
And you might be secretly recording some stuff on a Zoom recorder that somehow you're getting out on a dark web podcast. So you have to show them very clearly, publicly, that there are no mics around. Yeah. Everything's fine. You've obeyed the order. They're the boss, you know.
don't
refine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I'll go to Byron or whatever it is that, you know, whatever smoke screen we have to throw up to show them that we're pretending to be happy. But we'll be sad. We'll be sad all summer.
Very.
But it is also important for us to take a small break. rest the vocal cords from the weekly hit out.
Mm-hmm.
What I was going to say was, that's obviously coming up. We'll return at this stage. I mean, we always put it up on socials and whatnot. We let people know. But I think it's early March, isn't it? Usually, sometimes it's March Eve.
I think it's going to be March 3rd this time round.
Yeah, it is. This is what I wanted to say. This is perfect. Yep. Did you know that Jack's bouncing baby boy, the golden child of the podcast, is due on March 4th?
That's right.
We come back on Baby Eve. We come back on Baby Eve.
Yeah.
Wow.
So usually it's March Eve. This year we come back on Baby Eve. Now, he is the first child born to the podcast since we've been on air in 160 episodes.
Yes.
We have never had a child born to the podcast. So rejoice. A child shall be ours.
Sit outside the manger.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I would like to issue a summer challenge. And I was thinking about this. And I think we involve Mike too, because Mike, Radio Mike and podcast, or AKA Podcast Mike, who, works with us behind the scenes here and is featured extremely heavily on the show.
Particularly when Pokemon or Harry Potter comes up.
Pokemon, Nintendo, Harry Potter, he is our resident guru. I think we do a Make Jack's Baby a Present challenge over summer.
Great.
A Three Wise Men challenge.
Yeah,
Three Wise Men challenge.
I love the Three Wise Men.
Yeah.
Because that's why we need Mike. We need a third wise man.
Yeah.
So I was going to say, Jack, you be it as well, but when you think that through, you're obviously going to get the win. You're his dad.
And I'll be buying him things like a cot and a pram and a car seat. So he'll get a lot from me.
Yeah. I can see you're already annoyed at the cost of the baby. I'm surprised that
it's so expensive, that stuff.
Oh,
do you have a preferred pram, Jack?
wouldn't be surprised if we hear a bunch of maxi baby plugs coming out, or whoever your car seat provider is. So I thought, look, Jack's given him something already. He's given him life. That counts. That's a good gift.
Yeah.
So let's get three wise men. Do we?
We'll get Mike in here.
Let's get Mike in. Because then we can explain the rules of the challenge. Yep. But I just thought it's crazy we're coming back on Baby Eve. You know, we've got to do something. I feel like we've got to do something for Jack's son.
Okay.
Mike, so, Mike, first of all, are we in? Are we, because, you know, are we committing to this, or is it going to be a nuisance? I guess that's the first.
I'll commit to
this. This would be like the three wise men. Like, are we really going to walk all the way to Bethlehem? Like, because let's not start if we have to turn back.
But immediately we look at you. As the three wise men, we look at you and go, are you going to do it? Because you're the one that says.
Right. Well, I saw the star. So, I mean, I'm the one that thought of this.
You seem pretty jazzed by it. So, yes, I'm in. Radio Mike will be in.
Well, I only want to do it and if I don't have to pay for it with my own money, so I get to use the company card.
Gosh,
Ryan, well, that's not how the wise men did it.
Only if God pays for it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we've got the guy who's bringing myrrh. You're obviously not going to be the gold or frankincense guy.
I can't believe we replaced Jack with someone
with a tighter wise man. What if we do it? I know, but I think let's make it. That's my idea. Like, you know, I don't know. Like, do we make something?
Because that's better, cheaper. Mike, because then you don't have to pay so much money. It's not a
gift. I mean, we don't have to make it. Like, $100
limit. $100
limit.
I would like you to make something, though. That shows effort.
About you.
Yeah, it's not about you, Mary.
Like my son would appreciate you making it.
Hey, Joseph, you didn't even know we were coming, mate. So, you know? We were a surprise. So you actually don't get to put requests in. The three wise men didn't turn up and go, hey, we've got a new hammer here, circular saw and a lathe. Oh, what a coincidence. I'm a carpenter. Honey, I had no idea this was happening. And here's some guys that turned up with three great Makita products that I needed, not DeWalt.
But if they had a gift registry back in those times, maybe Jesus would have had a gift registry.
Have a gift registry for a kid.
I'm just saying he would appreciate that, you make stuff.
That's a weddings have gift registry. You don't go, hey, everybody, I'm having a kid. Here's the gift registry.
Okay.
Why does the kid need a crock pot?
So no, you don't get to choose, Jacko.
Okay.
Yeah. But $100 limit, you can make it or you don't have to. Yeah. Do we know any grounds for it to be judged upon, or is it just what pleases Joseph the most?
I guess it's what pleases Joseph.
Okay, that's good. Okay,
it doesn't have to be great. Can I? I know. I'm already sounds like I'm walking back the idea, but let's just say it doesn't have to be great.
This is what I would as the judge, if it is going to be me as the final judge. This is what I would say not to do. And I've seen Andy do this before at end of year dues, is re-gift something you just got. Yeah, I know you re-gifted those mugs in the Kris Kringle. Because you didn't know. You actually re-gifted it without even knowing what was in the box.
Yeah, that was dangerous. But wasn't that exciting?
A wise man indeed.
No, but
now, Jack, at that very same Kris Kringle, I made you a jumper.
Now, see, and I remember that for many years to come, that you made me that NoFX jumper, handmade, hand-stitched.
Handmade merch.
Okay, well, that might be a clue to Hamish to go down the same path, but we'll see. We'll see what pleases Joseph the most will be the winner. And
do we hold it? Fair wise man? Doth we hold it in front of the young lord himself to see if to see if he reacts?
So
does Jack take them home and one by one place them in front of the young lord to see if which one gets the best reaction from the newborn king?
That's 10% of the voting, and 90%, or is it 50-50?
All right, what about this? Jack gets a vote. Does the public get a vote?
Jack, public, and
maybe the young lord.
And the young lord. Great. Yep. That's perfect.
That's our summer project to create a wise man gift, the three wise man challenge. Mike, you've been very quiet. What's your beef?
No, I have no beef. I'm worried about ideas. I don't know what to come up with. I'm thinking
you've got three months.
I'm thinking something to do with the little drummer boy, but I think Hamish might take that.
You're freezing cold, mate, just so you know. Wow, you're not gonna get a baby's attention by giving him a drum kit.
All right. Good luck, Mike.
Good luck, wise men. See you in the desert as we walk to the east.
Hey, it's nearly the end of another great year. Obviously, the end of our final show of the year. 40 episodes a year for 40 years is That's what we said. It's a promise to Wild.
What are
back.
We now? 4 years down.
Four years down. 10%.
10%. Mate, you always feel like you just now it's properly begun.
Yeah. We'd love to do more, but the government won't let us over this
Bastardos.
Break. Few things to tie off. Emergency slide party.
Yeah.
We've been in touch with Rex. Obviously, the COVID situation with Australia opening back up, we will do that probably in the first month of the pod being back. So sometime in March next year.
We'll figure it out.
Expect those that had won their slot, expect to be notified in February.
Keep your ankles strong. Keep them strong. Keep your splints on.
Yeah.
If you
keep doing your exercises.
Ankles pre-strapped, getting ready to go down the slide.
The big ask, international borders have opened, which means the big ask of Jack for losing my bitcoins will come into play.
Is it outside? I mean, I guess it is, isn't it? Like it's two-way travel outside of the Asia-Pacific region.
Yeah. So, Jacko, expect the big ask to come into fruition next year.
Okay. I'm happy that it's not right now. It gives me another summer.
Yeah.
Of freedom. So,
yes, yeah, you've got a kid coming at the same time as a big ask.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to be living a hole for 2 years. So nice to enjoy one more summer.
I might not actually, now that you say that, Andy, I might not be able to deliver on favours as easily as a new father. So that'll be interesting to know.
Already weaseling out of the big ask.
Nah, you'll be easy, Jack, because the big ask is, can I have your kid? So you'll be free as a bird after you hand that one off. That'll come next
very,
year.
Very Rumpelstiltskin, isn't it? Give me your firstborn.
Yeah. Haim, we should have been alerted. We're on it. The Chums group, our social media site, Chums
Way
group
ahead
took,
of the curve. Way ahead of the curve too, wasn't it, Chums group, Ando? Because we invented it to take down Facebook.
Yeah,
we at least got them to change their name to Meta. So that's a partial win. We'll take that. But we just had a beautiful system. People might remember it was back in the radio show days. Go in Chums group. You don't have a site. You have your own shack.
Yeah.
And you fly flags out the front of your shack. Different 200 different coloured flags that correspond to the mood you're in. So you don't need to ride in it.
And activities you're doing.
It's what activities you're doing. So it covers all 200 moods and activities that human beings can experience or do. And we didn't use it to destroy democracy, which I think is a nice little feather in the hat. We didn't use it to poison teenagers' brains. I think that's nice. We haven't really caused
any elections.
Chronic body issues from it, which is a pretty cool little feather in the old hat. Quite a heavily feathered hat, actually, when you think about all the things we've done.
Other
social media companies haven't been able to achieve.
Exactly.
However, with all those feathers, comes a black feather, feather of shame, because it did go down. We were alerted by a user of Chums Group who said, I use this every day. Me and my friends still go on Chums Group and we put up flags outside our shack.
Yes.
And it's down.
We had 30-odd thousand members of Chums Group last time we checked.
Really? Do you know the only place it started falling apart, because it was a utopia, it's when we introduced Chumbucks, again, years before Bitcoin, so already identifying that digital currency was the future. We introduced Chumbucks. I'll give them this, not as tightly managed as the blockchain, because it was easily hackable. Suddenly people were multi-trillionaires.
Yeah.
The system fell apart. Surprise, surprise, money ruined it all.
Yes,
but before Chumbucks, that was a beautiful utopian society. Anyway, the site, as Ando mentioned, it's down. Don't worry. We're looking at the back end. We're working on it. So for all those people out there that are using Chums Group still on the reg, we are working on it. Maintenance happening as we speak.
Haim, I promised you and Jack a surprise.
Good loose end, by the way. Glad
we finish up the show. I promised you guys a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And Katie Dwyer emailed in during the week and she was onto it. She writes, ahoy. Very much looking forward to hearing Andy's trumpet rendition of Metallica's Nothing Else Matters by the end of the year. She then writes 11th of March, Ep 122. So she really wanted to pin it down. For those who don't remember that was said, this was the original audio. Last day of year 12 concert. I got up to play Nothing Else Matters by Metallica.
What do you mean? On what?
On guitar, right?
Yeah, right.
And
sorry, I just immediately thought Trump. What I would have given to see 17-year-old Andy honking out Nothing Else Matters on the horn.
I will play Nothing Else Matters.
Please, by the end of the year.
By the end of the year, I'll play Nothing Else Matters on the trumpet. So obviously,
wow,
that happened. I thought it was going to be a peter out, but it did come up again.
Could have petered it out. I'd totally forgotten about this.
It did come up again during the year. Okay, that isn't a peter out then.
Okay. I want you to just play the vocal line.
The vocal line, yeah. I'll play the vocal line of Nothing Else Matters on the trumpet.
I mean, you're in Sydney at the moment, but of course all your stuff's in Melbourne. But have you got the travel trump with
you? I have.
Did she bring up the travel trump? What did you bring that for? You're living by yourself.
Because I'm bored. I've got one.
A treat for the neighbours. Great. Got the guy next door playing the Macarena again.
Well, this week, Nothing Else Matters. It starts preparation. So, Haim.
Well done, mate. Good on you. The commitment.
You'll remember that I asked you down from Sydney for an excursion. You couldn't make it. About 2 weeks ago was when the excursion was meant to happen. I'd booked Hammer Hall, which is the major concert hall in Melbourne. I was hoping you and Jack would come and watch me play Nothing Else Matters on the horn at Hammer Hall. You couldn't make it.
This is amazing because people are obviously visiting. I always thought it was Hamer Hall, but anyway, maybe it was Hamer
Hall. It could be Hamer Hall. I don't know.
But, you know, it's like a fancy, it's like a famous concert venue in the middle of, it's like playing the Opera House basically, but in Melbourne.
Yes. And the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra do a lot of their work there.
There would be like someone doing a tour on this day and they would have wandered in and gone, who's this? Oh, that's Andy Lee. He's booked it out so he can play trumpet by himself. Like, far out. Must be nice. Look at these. He's bored. He got bored at home with the golf simulator, so he's coming here to play trumpet by himself at a concert stage.
Well, the excitement of them saying yes to Hamer Hall, Ham.
Amazing.
It went to my head. So then I asked the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra if they'd like to accompany me play Nothing Else Matters, to which they said yes.
This is great. I mean, it would take them 5 minutes to learn it. How long did it take you to practice for this?
They had to arrange it. So they got their professor of arrangements in there to arrange it for the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra. I was meant to go and do this on the 18th of November, and then there was a COVID situation, which means I wasn't able to be there. So via iPad, we've filmed it all. The Melbourne Symphony Orchestra at Hamer Hall. I'm on the iPad. I played trumpet.
You didn't get to go.
I didn't get to go, but we've got it all in film for you and we've recorded it.
Oh, man.
But this is me playing the trumpet accompanied by the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra.
One take for you, because that's really the pressure of it. It's got to be a one take.
Well, I've got another little announcement off the back of this with regards to the one take. But yes, one take. And guys, as promised, here is Nothing Else Matters, Andy Lee on the trumpet, accompanied by the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra.
The song everyone needed. So United Music, isn't it? I mean, they're great. I mean, you're doing really well, Ando, but they're great. awesome. That is really good, isn't it? I mean, they are the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra, so way to trick our brains into thinking you're so much better than you are.
That's so
I mean, you
true.
Did great. I mean, it was flawless from you, but
fine.
You did practice in year 12, so you already knew the notes. But, I mean, they the really video, are good, aren't they? I mean, because I guess we're used to our band, where we like... Our band, whenever we've tried to play a song, maybe this is just how I feel, it's like trying to do a skateboard run at the X Games where you like where you like finish and you can't believe you pulled off all the tricks and you get your board and you're like throwing it into the crowd because you just couldn't believe that you got through the run. But they would be used to getting through the run.
they're good at getting through the run. Hamie, you said one take is the pressure.
Yep.
I got asked by the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra to join them at the Maya Music Bowl on December 13th, Monday. It's Monday in a week and a half. I will be playing Nothing Else Matters.
He's doing it.
Monday
he's back
evening.
For more. He's got tour. This is like when Vance Joy asked you to play trumpet at the grand final and you said yes and then ghosted him.
I had too many beers and didn't go. I promised the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra I would go. It's a huge concert. It's performance of a lifetime. They've got, Kate Sobrano is performing. Rhonda Birchmore's going to be there. Liz Stringer, there's heaps and heaps of Lior, Ali McGregor. Yeah. There's heaps of good performers.
Professionals, and then Andy is coming out
Felix
of the trouble
from the Cat Empire, Tim Rogers as well from UMI, and also they're going to slot in Nothing Else Matters. If you're interested, you can go and check out mso.com.au.
How confusing for my mum and her friends, who will probably be there.
I'm only doing Monday, by the way. I'm not doing Tuesday. They do two concerts, one night.
Oh, please, more, shouts Mum and Mark.
So you can check it out. But
what
Haim,
a Christmas treat to leave Australia with.
The video up at hamishnetty.com. It's on our post.
Gigs coming up for you, mate?
No, I actually thought as a band member, I would alert my band that I was going to do a side gig.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, it feels a little bit cheeky that you're going off and playing with somebody else.
Yeah, at like a huge venue with the Symphony Orchestra.
I mean, obviously, Gwen Stefani left No Doubt, went out and did some solo stuff, worked out well for her.
Harry Styles, mate.
Hey, we should go busk around the corner from the City Vibe.
Trumpet piece. Yeah, Jack and I are actually doing, I'm doing a 9-hour DJ set at Revolver that night. So start at midnight and I'll take you through to sunrise.
Anyway, this is Harry Styles signing off for a great year.
This is Ringo Starr, just happy to be here.
Thank you, everybody. HamishNetty.com. If you want to chat to us at all over the break, obviously, we're not meant to look at emails, but I'm sure we will. And we'll be back for another huge year next year. March 3rd, we'll be back. But thanks for listening.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening. Catch up or contribute at HamishNetty.com. Listener.